Now listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. This is one of these very important shows. And it's important because this program, we're going to lay out for you the facts economically, the facts in terms of your health care, the facts in terms of the future of your economy, the future of your dollar, the future of your buying power, and the future of the world as we know it. There's this rock and roll song. You've probably heard it. It's the end of the world and we know it. That song is not as cheesy as it sounds. It is the end of the world and we know it. And the song is an apt title. So as I was reflecting on this before I came into the studio, I was thinking about a number of show topics, and as I always do, I pray, I seek the Lord, I go to the Lord for counsel and guidance and wisdom. And when I do this, I come up with a series of potential answers, possibilities, plausibilities. And to be very blunt with you today, I'm not happy with what I see at all. I'm not remotely happy with what I see. Because what I see is very, very serious problems. And we all know what these very, very serious problems are. But on top of the magnification of the serious problems, I see people that in my mind, I'm not saying that my mind is the objective, know-it-all gold standard. I'm not applying that. But as I look at things from my mind, I see that we're in the danger zone, that we are in a place where we should not be. And the reason we're in the place that we should not be is because our economy, our elected officers, our elected representatives, all these organizations that are supposedly managing our medical, our military, our economic systems for us, I would have to say, as you go down the list, they're all failing us. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say that. Do you? I mean, for crying out loud, do you really think it's an exaggeration to say that all of these financial institutions, all of these institutions that have been set up to theoretically protect us and guide us, do you think that they have done an adequate job? I mean, I'll tell you flat out, I don't think they've done an adequate job at all. In fact, the job that they have done is so abysmally, egregiously awful that if they were in any other field, they would be fired. They would be flat out fired for lying, for incompetency, for theft, and all kinds of things. And so here we are, the most, I mean, if it's bad here in the United States of America, and people are considering firing very high-level people for mismanagement of a massive amount of funds, I don't think it's too far-fetched to suggest that that they should be fired, because there's two things going on. One is there is what can only be described as egregious mismanagement. I mean, absolutely egregious mismanagement. They have been entrusted with the public's money in terms of retirement, health, insurance, and many other factors. The American public has stepped forward and voted dollar bills or millions of dollars of bills in confidence, essentially voting, saying, you're doing a good job, and we like what you're doing. Well, you know, I don't mean to be a smartass. I'm really not trying to step into that role model. But as I look at the catastrophic events that are unfolding in our nation and in our world, I see that the level of incompetence is so bad that you couldn't have planned for there to be a level of incompetence this bad if you had intentionally done so. So we have a whole situation that could be called a free fall economic system. That means it's spiraling, it's out of control. And this free fall economic system is completely imploding. Now, on top of that, we have a very abnormal, very dangerous situation with the Middle East, the Ukraine, and Russia. And these are all lighting up at the same time. And so when you look at this stuff, and again, you don't have to be a genius to look at this stuff. You just look at this stuff. You give it a minimal analysis. You look at this stuff and you say to yourself, what are they doing? What have they been doing? And what is their plan for the future? That's what any sane, rational person would have to come to a conclusion like that. What are they doing? What have they been doing? And what do they plan to do in the future? Because none of these situations are stagnant situations. Every one of these situations that we're looking at involves the potential of an economic freefall, an economic meltdown, an economic transformation, and many, many other things. And to say it as succinctly as possible, the proverbial Titanic has struck an iceberg, and we are gathering water in our engine rooms, and we are in serious trouble. It doesn't matter what perspective or what angle you look at this from, you come up with the same developments of problems, no matter how you look at it. It's the same development of problems. And so this inertia that we're living in, this inertia zone where we see money, we see out of control money, we see financial decisions that are going to inevitably lead to an economic blowout. And this is very, very, very dangerous. So that's where we are. And we have to face the fact that America is a bankrupt nation. And this entire world economic system is a bankrupt system. and we have no plans, secure plans to make that will undo the bankruptcy. We have no plans that will really empower us to face the facts, empower us to grasp the truth and deal with the truth. And we insist over and over and over and over again, ad nauseum, we insist on going back to the same old trailways and, you know, drinking from the same well over and over and over again, in the hope that by drinking from the same well, we're going to come up with a completely different set of illusions. So that's where we are. That's where we are. Now, let's take it even deeper than that. Why are we in the situation? We're in the situation because the problems we're facing are in reality, they're highly manageable problems. They don't require a rocket scientist degree. They don't require that you be some economic genius or economic leader genius. None of that is necessary. Where we are is we're in a situation where our cash flow is way below what it should be. And that's because as we go across the board and as we explore different fiscal, financial policies, as we go across the board, examining these various financial policies, we end up coming up always perpetually short. And that means that if we are to continue on those pathways, we're going to run into an unprecedented danger. And that's where we are now. We're in a time period of unprecedented danger. So that's a very short analysis of a big problem. We're in an unprecedented crisis where it doesn't take a rocket scientist, it doesn't take a genius, it doesn't take, you know, some anointed man like, you know, Jesus Christ or the King of Proverbs or whoever. It doesn't take that level of leadership, that letter of boldness to map out a solution for our future. And that's where we are. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. We simply need to acknowledge, and this is not, you know, everything I'm telling you is not, I'm not reinventing the wheel. I've talked about this in program after program after program, and simple presentation of God's word and the utilization of God's word gives us an answer that's doable and that's workable. But the first thing that's required is that we, as God's people, come together and seek the Most High God. We seek the Lord together. And we ask God to supernaturally help us and we ask God to supernaturally intervene in our lives, as he has in so many other times in human history. So that's where we are. And there's no shortcut around it. Easy way out. I mean, it's a simple process to discover the solutions. But we have to be willing to have the courage to face the illusion of the solutions. So how does that play out? How does that work? Well, this is the way it works. This is the way it plays out. It plays out when a certain percentage of God's people, that critical percentage, begin to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit. They begin to rise as a mighty army unto the Lord, and that mighty army as unto the Lord begins to adopt sound doctrine, the Word of God, and embrace answers that previously we weren't interested in embracing for. Now, because of desperation, I hope that we are interested in embracing these answers. So what do you think? Give me a call here. You can email me. That's probably the best thing to do. Just email me at newmediavoice@aol.com. newmediavoice@aol.com. And share with me your thoughts, your opinions, your ideas, and share with me most of all the battle plan that we're engaged in that will win the spiritual war. God has given us a certain time period. God has given us a certain set of solutions and answers, and they always revolve around the same thing. So it's simple. It always revolves around the same thing. And this is what it revolves around. It revolves around the spiritual reality that God's people unify, come together as one, and unify, and speak as one, and think as one, and develop strategies and leadership modalities which can effectively spare our nation. And if we will engage in those things, there's a strong, strong possibility that God will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's where we are. So I want to know what you think about it. When you go to church and you study the Word of God and you pray in the will of God, are these conversations front and center on the tables in your churches, or are you playing out and hanging out and hiding and protect yourself and dodging bullets? Because the bullets, you may have noticed, come closer and closer to us, especially as we approach the last days. So what is the impediment? What is the blockage? What is it that is preventing God's people from doing what they know with the clean conscience that they should be doing. I mean, I think if you would survey the overwhelming percentage of God's people, they would agree that we need to pull aside, pull the shofar or the trumpet blast, and seek the face of God. And I think that they would agree that this has to be done in a state of emergency, in a crisis state. And I think that if we haven't before, we need to get into action like never before. We need to get into action. We need to take this with the utmost gravity and seriousness. And we need to re-engage ourselves 100% in the spiritual war that is before us. And that is our duty, because Jesus Christ said, "Occupy until I come. Occupy until I come." So God is calling us. He's calling us as his people to occupy until he comes, and to obey him until he comes. And this is not a matter of, you know, figuring out some good plans and some good strategies and implementing them. This is about life, death, survival on planet Earth. That's what this is about. The signs of the times that Jesus Christ talked about are happening in planet Earth, on planet Earth, with an alarming frequency. So we have weather warfare, weather modification weapons. We have food shortages. We have the tremendous need to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now more than ever, it's time to pull these things together and to make sure that we are doing things the way God wants them done, and in the manner that God wants them done. And I believe God has supplied to us the means necessary of doing it. So that's where we are. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Make sure you visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Make sure you read the articles, you listen to the videos, listen to the experts we've assembled to help gather the names of the experts and fulfill the commission that God has given us to carry out while we still have the time. And that's a critical word. While we still have the time left. Now, where does it go from here? Okay, so when we look at the global scenario, the global series of catastrophic events, what do we see? Well, what we see is, we see primary and central eruption centers, for lack of a better word. We see a whole series of spiritual wars in the process of igniting or that have already ignited. And there's a parallel between the time period that we're in and the time period of Joseph and Daniel and the time period of our founding fathers, the Pilgrims, the Puritans, and so on and so forth. They are, these are similar time periods. Now, what I want to do is like micro focus on like very key historical spiritual events. And some of these most likely have not been brought to your attention before in the church. But now is the time. I mean, time is over. It's overdue. It's long overdue. I've dealt with this topic and topics for 20 years in my book, my books, like A Prophecy of the Future of America. I've dealt with these topics and these facts because when you understand these topics and these facts, you realize rather quickly that these are central, absolutely central truths in which it's mandatory for God's people to understand what's happening. So let me review them for you, because they are not being taught in churches and seminaries and the media and so on and so forth. There's a complete censorship and a complete blackout. And it's like there's very powerful players that do not want us to know that there's this dunamis, if you like, there's this dunamis, there's this dynamite-powered explosive force of a relationship between time period we're in now and the time period we were in seasons past. So in seasons past, when the American revolutionaries, the vast majority of them were Bible-believing Christians, and that's a critical piece of truth to understand. And one of the critical pieces of truth to understand is that God's people, they understood the Word of God, they studied the Word of God, and the difference between God's people then and God's people now is that God's people then grasped, processed, and understood this all important truth and relationship. And I feel led as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I function on a multiplicity of levels. And by that, I mean I function as a Bible teacher. I function as a evangelist. I function as a teacher of the Word of God and other things. And then I function in integrating the truths of God's Word with the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ and applying the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ to our present moment. Okay, so this is what you have to understand, and you will not learn this in the Christian seminaries. You will not learn this in the Christian theological seminaries. You will not learn this in the many sources of Christian and Christian secular education that is barraging our nation. And yet, despite the fact that you're not learning it, it is absolutely essential that you know this truth, that you own this truth, and that you apply this truth. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where, when you have a thorough understanding of these kinds of truths, that you come into a revelation by the Holy Spirit. You come into a revelation of just how important these truths are. Okay, so going back to the mid-1600s or into a time period earlier than the mid-1600s, you discover that the vast majority of the sincere Bible-believing Christians that were alive and well and kicking back then, they shared a common theology. They shared a common biblical worldview. And this is very, very important for you to understand. And it's very, very important to you to fully process. Unless you fully process this and make it your own. In other words, you can know all about the truth, but it doesn't do you a hill of beans if you don't know how to process that truth. Now, by that, I'm speaking specifically of it's imperative that you own, process, and master the truth regarding the invasion, the spiritual invasion, because that's exactly what it was, that you process the fact that there was a spiritual invasion in the world that we live in, a spiritual invasion, and that it is critical for Bible-believing Christians in all walks of life. Knowledge is power, and so you have to gain knowledge, you have to gain power in order for you to be positioned by the Lord God Almighty into the position that God has for you. And this is critical that you do that. It's critical that you carry that out. So, what that means is that you must, with all your heart, soul, and mind, not just regurgitate secondary or peripheral biblical truths that tickle your ears. That is not going to cut it with Jesus Christ. You must process the deepest truths of the Word of God. And by the deepest truths of the Word of God, I'm talking about truths that will produce the equivalent of a spiritual revolution. A spiritual revolution. Because you see, the settlers of America were men and women, mainly who came from Great Britain and France and other nations. They were escaping the religious persecution of the Pope. They were escaping the religious persecution of the Pope. And they were highly committed to practicing the truth of Jesus Christ on a very high level. And by practicing the truth of Jesus Christ at a very high level, they rightly divided the Word of God. They studied revivals. They studied salvation by grace, revival by grace, and all the other things. And so in this pivotal time in human history, we are to process the Bible with the same intensity that made the Christians of Europe and the Christians of their time armed and dangerous. Now, by that, what we have in America, and my intentionality for saying this is not to say this for the purpose of taking a cheap shot at Christians. My purpose in saying this is not to take a cheap shot at as Christian leaders, etc. My purpose in saying this is, in contrast, not to take a cheap shot at anybody, but my purpose in saying that is to volley in spiritual warfare. My purpose is to volley in spiritual warfare a dynamic spiritual warfare attack which destroys the encroaching invasion of the enemies of the powers of darkness at every level. At every level, there must be an encroachment of the powers of darkness, and then take it to the next step. After we thoroughly process this biblical truth, after we thoroughly study the Word of God, we have to meditate in the Word of God and own the Word of God and believe in the Word of God and expect God to do what He's promised to do for the last several thousand years. And what was it that God promised to do? Well, God promised to ignite a biblical third great awakening. And this is critical. God promised to ignite a biblical third great awakening. And in order for that to happen, we are to embrace at the highest priority the things of God. We are to use the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we are to aggressively preach the truth at every level. At every level, we're to aggressively preach the truth. And we are to prepare our hearts, minds, and souls, and every believer that is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit must do the same thing in their lives. We need to practice the presence of the Holy Spirit, process it, and we must to develop a theology of action. We must develop a theology of warfare, spiritual warfare. We must develop a theology of spiritual warfare so that when we engage our society, we are engaging our society on a level of multiplicity. We are engaging our society in a level of, total engagement. So what does that mean? Let's spell this out. Let's spell this out very, very clearly, because the stakes are astronomically high. What I mean by everything that I just said is that it is incumbent upon the supernatural body of Christ. It is a mandate of the supernatural body of Christ for every true believer in Jesus Christ to develop an expertise, to develop a war, to develop a proficient warrior-like attitude, in fighting spiritual powers and the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's what we have to do. So what does that mean? It means we must, out of necessity, out of priority, we must identify the central battlefield in light of eternity. And I'm going to say it again, and my saying it again is not for the purpose of redundancy. My saying it again is for the purpose of obeying me personally, obeying the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every single area of my life. Just like the purpose is that you obey the Lord Jesus Christ in every single area of your life. So that has to be resolved. That can't be, you know, an iffy proposition. That must be regained, no matter what the cost. Because you see, the cost at the moment, and I want you to hear me with all your heart, with all your hearts, I want you to hear me. I want you to hear precisely what I'm saying. I don't want you to hear an embellishment of what I'm saying. I want you to hear exactly what I'm saying. And in this last day's panorama, you and I are called by Almighty God to pick up the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so when we do that, when we pull down the strongholds, then and only then can we fight the spiritual battle. In order to fight that spiritual battle and be victorious, we must have divine guidance from God, which allows us to do it. So this is how it plays out. On a logistic, militaristic level. And so I want you to hear me, please. Because what I'm talking about are the essentials of winning the greatest spiritual battle in the history of mankind. So, winning the greatest spiritual battles in the history of mankind is of necessity requiring from us, demanding from us, that you and I hear the clear call of the Holy Spirit. That you and I hear the clear call of the Holy Spirit, and that in the process of hearing that clear call of the Holy Spirit, we sign up, we enroll, we enlist, and this is so critical. God is not talking to us about meaningless frivolity. God is not talking to us about playing games. That's not what this is about. God is calling us to enlist in the great spiritual battle of our time. And what that means is there is an expectation on the part of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's an expectation on our part of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He expects us to roll up our sleeves and engage in the spiritual battle at a level that we've never engaged in before in terms of spiritual battle. We are being called by God to engage in the level of spiritual battle that we previously have never engaged in before. So here's the secret now that I'm going to reveal to you, not because I'm some guru and mystic and I'm looking for some acclaim on my part. That's not the reason I'm going to reveal to you the secret of Mystery Babylon, because that's exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to say it again. That's exactly what I'm talking about. What I am talking about is a revelation of the secret of Mystery Babylon. And God is calling his people to reignite with the passion and the boldness of the Holy Spirit. God is calling us to reignite our spiritual relationships with Jesus Christ. So this is the key, our spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that in a perfunctory, religious sense. And this statement is not like an anti-Catholic statement, but this is not about praying your prayers with rosary beads. I'm not knocking you if that brings you closer to God. But if your prayers don't transcend the rosary bead prayers, you aren't armed and dangerous in the kingdom of God. Okay, so where does this bring us? This brings us to where we are right now in history. Where are we in history right now? We are in the place that the Bible calls the last days. We are in the last days or the end of the age in Bible prophecy. The key signal to the last days happening is when in 1948, when the 1967 Six-Day War broke out, and that was in 1948. That means Israel, for the first time in over 2,000 years, God promised the physical land of Israel as an everlasting covenant, and he gave them back their land in an everlasting covenant after 2,000 years of dispersion. Now, a good friend of mine, General Shimon Aram, one of Israel's top military generals, he informed me on many things that were going on behind the scenes. But what he essentially told me was that this battle that was erupting was the primary battle in Bible prophecy. And by that, I mean that it affects both Jews and Gentiles. So God made an everlasting covenant with the Jews to give them the land of Israel. Okay? Now, that was fulfilled when in 1948, the Jews inherited the physical land of Israel. Now, the other thing that happened was there was the six-day Egyptian war between Israel and Egypt. And in this 1967 six-day war, there was a massive conflict. So Israel had almost no military machinery left. They were depleted of all weaponry. And so what happened was, in a series of miracles recounted to me in military precision and military detail, General Shimon Aram told me about how just a handful of airplanes flew above the airport where the Egyptians were, and they bombed the Egyptians in their planes at the airport. So here we have just like two or three planes with bombs that were stolen from the Egyptian Air Force, and then they dropped these bombs on the Egyptian Air Force, and the Egyptian Air Force, by God's grace, was out partying. They got drunk out of their mind the night before, so they were incapacitated. They were like boozed out of their mind. They were incapacitated, incapable of fighting any war. And so, because they were incapable of fighting any war, the Jews won the Six-Day War. Now, and then the Jews won the 1948-day war. They won back the territory. Now, the territory they won back was the first time that this territory was won back by the Jews in over thousands of years. And so what happened was that there was a whole series of potential military confrontations of a great and serious nature. And it was like miracle after miracle after miracle. God blessed his people. There were like 1,000 Egyptian soldiers to every one Israeli soldier, and they won. They triumphed. They came into the seaport from Germany. They went down and they conquered the seaport. Okay, and they then had dominion over Israel for the first time in over 2,000 years. Now, here's the irony. This Jewish general, he was there for that. He was there for every major military battle in the last days. And then he went on recently to be with the Lord, General Shimon Aram. He was kind enough to write an endorsement of my book, in which he called Paul McGuire is a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem, one of the best, and I was very honored by that. So he described to me in military scientific detail the fact that that they had a military victory. Now, the other thing was that there were many other battles. So in 1967, there was the Six-Day War, where the Jews, they recaptured the city of Jerusalem for the first time in over 2,000 years. So the Jews miraculously recaptured the city of Jerusalem for the first time in over 2,000 years. This was a huge miracle, and it involved logistical miracles. And then a guy I knew who was the General Boykin, who was the head of Delta Force, they recaptured the city of Jerusalem. And what happened was that the Arabs could not militarily maintain the city of Jerusalem. They didn't have the manpower. So what happened in an odd series of events, even though they technically and actually captured the military control of Jerusalem, even though they captured the military control of Jerusalem, they didn't actually actualize that victory into years later. So when that mysterious battle, and it was mysterious, was won by the Jewish army, when that battle was won by the Jewish army They regained the ground that was stolen from them for over 2,000 years. That's pretty heavy. So in that conquest, that is the first time in over 2,000 years where the Jews are able to recapture the nation of Jerusalem. This is the first time in 2,000 years. Prior to that, Jesus gives a prophecy to the Jews that in the last days, they're going to recapture the nation of Israel in the last days. And you see a whole series of miracles. And this time, you see another miracle, which is that the Jews are able to recapture the ancient city of Jerusalem, okay? But there's one small quirk, and that is, even though they recaptured the ancient city of Jerusalem, God worked a whole series of supernatural miracles, which supernaturally enabled the Jews to recapture the city of Jerusalem. They supernaturally recaptured the city of Jerusalem, and this was like amazing. So from that time period on, where the city of Jerusalem is recaptured by the Jews, that is a page turner. That is a paradigm shift for the nation of Israel. They militarily grab back the nation of Israel from all the Islamic, Russian, Egyptian, and other nations, and they seize back the land that was stolen from them in a whole series of miracles. Now, coming up very quickly on the prophetic horizon is the fact that the ancient city of Jerusalem is, in the 1967 Day War, they give back the city of Jerusalem to the Islamic armies. They give back the city of Jerusalem to the Islamic armies. And so what happens was that this also is a miracle of unprecedented proportions. And so what happens is they recapture all of the territorial landmass, the physical landmass. They recapture all that territory. And what happens is, in a very odd series of situations, they give the city of Jerusalem back to the ancient Egyptians, the ancient pagan nations who were occupying Jerusalem up until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. So there's a massive Bible prophecy clicking away. That's like revolutionary. So what happens in the midst of all of this is that the nation of Jerusalem and the capital of Jerusalem, of Israel, which is Jerusalem, is recaptured by ancient Israel in the last days. They recapture the land. And technically, the word for it is that the days of the Gentiles might be fulfilled. And so the Jews are able to win back all of Jerusalem until the days of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And then the big, big famous military Jewish generals decide collectively with an act of their will to give back the land of Israel to the Jews in the last days. They give back the land, which is like unprecedented that they give back the land. And when they give back the land, they give back all of the land that Israel is entitled to. Even though Israel won it fair and square in this 1967-day war, they give back that land to Israel in the last days. So the next upcoming battle in Bible prophecy, and let's remember that all of these Bible prophecy battles have 100% miraculous guarantees, like they've never happened before. So what happened was, in these battles, is that the nation of Israel captures the Temple Mount in Israel. The Jews capture the Temple Mount, the Wailing Wall, and other areas, and they do so by the grace of God and the angelic armies of God. And on a supernatural level, there's no way whatsoever that the Jews should have won this historical battle. They just should not have won this historical battle. They won the battle totally and purely through a supernatural maneuver where the Most High God, the God of Israel, defeats the Jews and recaptures the land of Israel. So for the first time in over 2,000 years, the Jews recapture the ancient city of Israel. So now that brings us right up to date, and right up to date we have the Russian-Ukraine war. Okay, and this is very heavy. We have the global reset. We have the battle between Israel and the Russians, the Russian-Ukraine, the Jewish war, is very much in play, and the Russian-Ukraine-Israeli war is being military won by the Jews in this last day's battle. Because let's remember one overarching principle, which is this, that in the last days, God promises to give the physical land of Israel back to the Jews in the 1967-day war. They promised to give the nation of Israel back to the Jews. And God honors that, and that is a decisive moment in this battle. So as we continue to move forward in Bible prophecy, as we continue to move forward, the Israeli, Russian, Ukrainian war is in the control of the children of Israel in the last days, just like God said it would be. Because God said in the last days that the Jews would be in control of the nation of Israel. And that's what's happened right up to the present moment. And so this military diversion between the Jews and Russia and the Ukraine, etc., is really nothing more than a diversion. They are fighting a battle in which they are massively, massively outnumbered, like by a million to one. They're massively outnumbered, and yet the only thing that's different is the Jews have said in their hearts, never again. The Jews have said in their hearts, never again, and they will not allow the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, to be recaptured by the city of Jerusalem in the last days. They simply will not allow it. They will die before allowing that to happen. And so this global reset is happening right in front of our eyes. And what does this global reset mean that's happening right in front of our eyes? The global reset means that in the last days, Jews are involved in the archetypical battle between good and evil, the Bible prophecy battle between good and evil, and they're going to, with an act of their will and in fulfillment of Bible prophecy, they are going to militarily stand off the Jews in this final last days of battle, the last one being the 1967 day war. And that's going to be the final war, the final war. So when we have to pay close attention, America needs to pay close attention to the nation of Israel in the last days. Why? Because the nation of Israel is using women, men, young people, every soldier they can get their hands upon, they're employing. And they are going to conquer the Philistines, they're going to conquer Al-Qaeda, they're going to conquer the Muslims, they're going to conquer Syria, Sudan, and all the other nations. And then we see the famous War of Gog and Magog. And in this famous War of Gog and Magog, Israel is going to invade, well, actually, excuse me, Russia is going to invade Israel in the last days in this War of Gog and Magog. And that's why NATO is all over this, because NATO is the reappearance of the last days revived Roman Empire. So NATO is the revived Roman Empire that Daniel prophesied about, and NATO is the revived Roman Empire, and NATO is going to play a deciding force in whatever peace deal is negotiated with Israel and the other nations in the last days. So what does all of this mean? All of this means is that Bible prophecy is racing to come to fruition in the last days. There's nothing that can stop it. It's like on a railroad track that nothing can stop. And so this whole conflict with Israel, with Russia, with NATO, et cetera, this entire military conflict is being fought largely by the Jewish women. It's being fought largely by Jews who believe in Bible prophecy and Jews that believe in Israel's right to the land. Because God, this is the backbone of everything we're looking at on the news. God has promised Israel a supernatural promise. God has given Israel the land of Israel as an everlasting covenant. That means as a covenant without end. God is giving Israel as a covenant without end the nation of Israel. And so what's happening now is that we are on the precipice of all of these final last days end time wars. We're right on the precipice of, for example, Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 39. And in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39, the Jews, they're going to be invaded by Russia in the last days. And Russia is going to come down with the armies of the north, the armies to the uttermost part of the north. and they're going to invade Israel in the last days, and they are going to do everything they can to conquer the invading Russian army. But here's the critical oxymoron, the critical problem. The Jews have determined in their hearts, like the words, never again will they allow the enemies of Israel to steal the land of Israel from them. Never again. So the Jews are going to take back the land. Why? Because God, and this is the critical thing, God has made an everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel to give the nation of Israel the land of Israel as an everlasting covenant in the last days. And so God made an everlasting covenant with Israel in the last days. And God isn't going to break that covenant. Why? Because it's an everlasting covenant. It is without end. And God gives the nation of Israel, the land of Israel, as an everlasting covenant. That means everlasting. It is without end. And so this is the ultimate fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And so what happens next is that God gives the nation of Israel to the Jews as an everlasting covenant, along with the land of Israel. And in this process, the Jews become the supernatural recipients of the land of Israel, and they are given by God the physical land of Israel in the last days. So we are right on the precipice of all of these prophetic super signs happening right in our lifetime. There has never been a time in human history where so many prophetic super signs have come into being than now. There has never been a time when so many prophetic super signs have come into being like now. Never before. So Israel is acting in fulfillment of the everlasting covenant that God made with the Jews in the last days. So this is awesome. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And be sure to visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. I need you, my brother and sister in Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters in Yeshua. I need you to stand with me in the last days to spread God's message of Bible prophecy. I need you to stand with me in the last days to spread God's message of Bible prophecy. And I need you to stand with me and obey the words of Jesus Christ in order to occupy until he comes. So you and I together, Jew and Gentile, must occupy the land until Jesus comes. And so all these wars are going to, they're going to converge. The war of Gog and Magog, which is the war of Ezekiel 38. All of these wars are going to converge, and Israel is going to be successively triumphant and victorious over and over and over again. Israel will be victorious, triumphant, and God will give them the physical land of Israel, just as he promised to the Jews thousands of years beforehand. The Jews were given the promise of the land covenant by God to ancient Israel. The Jews were given the land covenant by God. And in that land covenant, they received the everlasting land, the everlasting land covenant of Israel, given to Israel by the Jews. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. I need you to stand with me 100% as we stand for the nation of Israel prophetically, as we pray prophetically, and as we speak up for Israel in practical and strategic terms. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.